and open up to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. We're going to be reading the first 18 verses, the Gospel of John, chapter 5. You'll find that on page 753 in your pew Bibles. John the Apostle records things thusly. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is a Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word. You are everything to me. God bless you. God bless you. This gentleman who's seated up here, many of you remember. Some of you may not. But Reverend Barry Troyer was raised in this church from the time he was 15 years of age until he was in his early 30s, I'm going to say 33, something like that.
Yeah, 35.
When the Lord called him into ministry and to prepare, and he went off to Circleville Bible College and prepared for ministry and has served in two churches prior and is now evangelical churches, and has now been called as the senior pastor at our Absorkey, Montana church. And so he has begun his ministerial career there. And so it's a great honor to be able to have him come and share with us from God's word today. Pastor Bear, God bless you.
Thanks, Lynn. Good morning.
Woo.
Dan, turn me down. It is good to be with you. It's really nerve-wracking to be back at the home church and to have the opportunity to share. And as I look across, I recognize a lot, and there's a lot I don't recognize. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So, but I just got a couple of comments to make. It's this morning when Jake was preaching, I was sitting beside my brother. And Rand, I wanted you to notice, did you see Lynn when we were singing up here this morning? You know, when I was sitting beside Rand and we were singing, we were sitting this way, Rand's over here, so he's got his ear covered over here, all curled in like, am I that bad a singer or what, you know, or he thinks he's either, I'm either that bad or he thinks he's that good, you guys can make that call. And the other thing I need to comment is, you know, we talked about Jake's service this morning, and I'm not quite sure. He did a really good job, but he came out of Matthew chapter 13, and verse 57, he really kind of hit on, and it talks about a prophet is not without honor except in his home church or his hometown. So I'm not quite sure what he was trying to tell you there in advance, but hopefully we can put all that aside, and the Lord will speak to us here today. So, but it is great to be here. So, there's no mountains out here, no snow caps, and no white water, and all that good stuff, which we become very accustomed to out there. But it's always good to get back to PA. So it sure is. So, John chapter 5, 1 through 18. Lynn read the text here this morning, and I just entitled this "Becoming Whole, Becoming Holy." You know, it's a story about how Jesus healed the man who had been sick for a very long time. And today I just want to take some time and kind of walk through this story with all of us together. You know, the scripture tells us that Jesus had gone to Jerusalem for a very special religious feast. And near one of the gates in the city of Jerusalem, the one called the Sheep Gate, there was this pool that was there. And the belief of the day was that from time to time, an angel of the Lord would come and he would stir the waters. And that the first person that sat around the outside of this pool, the first one that could get into that water would be healed. And, you know, healed of whatever affliction, physical affliction that they might have. And for this reason, the scripture tells you there was numbers of people laying around that pool. And the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And it goes on to say that there was one man there. We don't know what his name is. Who had been an invalid for 38 years. And scripture goes on to say that when Jesus saw him laying there, he knew that he had been in this condition for a long time, and he spoke to him and he healed him. And this is just one of the many healing stories that we can read throughout the Gospels, but there are some things that make this one very special. It's one of my favorite stories in the Gospels because the story not only reports to us how Jesus healed the man, it also reveals to us how he wants to make each and every one of us whole. And my people hear me say all the time, and it probably came from Lynn, we have to make our relationship with Jesus Christ a personal relationship. It doesn't matter what mom and dad believe. It doesn't matter what grandpa and grandpa believe. We have to make our relationship with Jesus Christ a personal relationship. And there's no such thing as just hanging where you're at with your relationship with the Lord. There's no such thing as a flatline Christian. It's always got to be this way. You're either getting closer to Him on a daily basis, or you're sliding down that slippery slope going places where you don't want to go. And so Jesus here on this story, He's saying that He wants to make this guy heal him. He wants to make him whole. But He wants to do that for every one of us on a personal basis. You know, Jesus spoke three sentences to this man. If you've got a red-letter Bible, you're going to see my three points right there real quick as the three statements that Jesus made as he come through here. Because each sentence contains the lesson in the process of becoming whole. There are some broken people here today. In this congregation of this size, there are broken people. There are people who have been in this church maybe for their whole life. But they still are hiding something on one corner of their heart. They haven't given up. They're dealing with something. They're fighting with something. They're struggling with something. And they're broken. And we don't like to fess up because looking at ourselves is the hardest thing in the world we can do. In fact, in Jeremiah, I forget what verse and text it is, but there's a couple verses there that says, we don't even know our own heart. How can we judge the hearts of others? Only God knows our hearts. And so here we are as we're struggling today as human beings that we're trying to become whole. And what does that really look like? Some that are here may have lost hope already. You see your future the same as your past. You see the past as just one heartbreaking disappointment, one after another, after another, after another. But I'm here to tell you today that you can be whole. There's a way. Jesus provides that way for us. You can be made new again, and you can be transformed thoroughly through and through, and you can be clothed in the clothes of righteousness. through the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. As we'll see in this story, wholeness is just not a process of Jesus changing your circumstances. Healing this illness or solving the problem or providing a miracle. Wholeness is the process of Jesus changing us, not only on the outside, but on the inside. And today we're going to look at the three phases that Jesus spoke to this unnamed man who laid beside this pool and apply them to us today. In chapter 5, John tells us about the pool, and then he writes in verses 5 and 6. He said that a man was there who had been ill for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd already been there a long time in that condition, he said to him, now here's the first point, the first phrase that I want us to look at. He asked the question, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? What an interesting question. I mean, think about it. This man had been laying beside this pool, had been paralyzed for 38 years. We don't know how old he is. But we do know that he'd been paralyzed for 38 years. Wouldn't you say that it would be the obvious, the very obvious, that he would be, yes, absolutely, I want to be healed? But more interesting than even the question Jesus asked is the man's response. If you've got your Bibles, look at verse 7. It says, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool. And when the water is stirred up, while I am coming, another steps down in before me. You know, in a court of law, a good attorney right there would speak up and say, objection. You know, yes, you know, it's a yes or no question. And this man gave a completely irrelevant, unrelated answer to the question. Jesus had asked him a very simple question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? And the man replied, like so many of us today, with excuses. Instead of telling Jesus, yes, I want to be healed, he just told him all of the reasons that he was unable to be healed. I have no one to help me in the pool. Somebody always gets in before me. Again, invalid for 38 years. And it had taken such a toll on him, all that he could see about his life was just the reasons why he could never get better. Does that apply to us? In the back of your mind, no matter how hard we try to want to live that holy and that sanctified life, there's always just a little reason that says, you can't do that. I can't do that. Man, back in my younger days, I did this, or I've still got this habit. I got, you know, does that play into us on a personal basis? All this invalid could see was the past. He had given up on the idea completely about hope and about being fully and completely embraced, you know, with that hope. And he was basically in utter despair. And here we have it. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords had asked him a question infused with possibilities. But he didn't hear the question. He could only see the desperate situation. And I said in meetings after meetings after meetings in my church at the BMC, our camp board and denominational levels and dealing in counseling, and you ask questions and people don't even hear the question you ask because all they're wanting to do is look for a response. And so as that question is being formulated to them, in their mind, their wheels are turning, boy, I'm going to hit him back with this. Really not listening to the question at all. And we're all guilty of that, guys. And here we have this man setting back. And he asked the question, do you want to be healed? He couldn't see anything except his desperate situation that he was in. And I believe that Jesus is asking you and asking me that same question today. I fear that some of us are so far removed from the idea of hope that we now, again, respond only with excuses. Jesus, I've had this problem for 38 years. I've had this problem all my life, Jesus. Jesus, I'm an addict. Jesus, I'm addicted to drugs. I'm addicted to, to alcohol. I'm addicted to pornography. I'm addicted to gossip. I'm addicted to not letting go of past hurts. I'm justifiably right in holding on to these. Hogwash. No, you're not. I'm addicted to swearing. If we can't control our tongue, the Scripture says we're not fit to put our hands even to the plow. And I can still remember a message that Lynn preached when I was here long before I even thought about the minister, and even on Christian swearing, and how we as Christians just kind of transform that swear word into another word, and we say it like it's nothing, but it's the same meaning. The world sees it. I mean, we had a foreign exchange student once, and that's what he said. You guys just use Christian swearing. And he's right. Shrek, you're still the commie. You know, you got to come up with different names when you want to get mad at somebody. He's always been the communist. I got a friend who went to Bible college with, my word for him is hoghead. You know, when you get in trouble. When I'm mad at my wife, it's yes, dear. You know, my mother raised ugly kids, not dumb ones, so we're learning how all this works. But again, but we're addicted. We're saying all these things, and we got all these things put away in our heart or in our minds that we keep thinking about. And you just go, Jesus, I'm addicted to whatever. Jesus, I'm all alone. Jesus, there's just no hope for me. And I'm challenging you all today to stop thinking about the reasons that this can't be done and stop making excuses that things will never be better. And start thinking about the possibilities that God wants to bring into your life. Start thinking about the wholeness of God that He wants to give to us on that personal basis. You already know why it can't be done. Allow yourself this morning to think just for this moment that it can be done. Allow yourself to imagine wholeness. Allow yourself to imagine healing. Allow yourself to imagine deliverance. Allow yourself to imagine liberty. Forget all the failed attempts of yesterday and the accumulated disappointments that have come along with all of those over the years. And focus on the very simple question that Jesus asked this man: do you want to be healed? Doesn't get any simpler than that. Do you want to be healed? But it's a loaded question. Because wellness comes with responsibility. Here's the most obvious ones. A well man cannot spend his day laying beside the pool begging from his family and his friends and people walking by. Can't spend his day begging for money. He has to take care of himself. He even has to start looking out for others to the very best of his abilities. Now we're changing the scene. Instead of everyone taking care of him, everyone taking care of you, now we're starting to go out to where we need to start looking at how we can take care of others. So this simple yes and no question that Jesus is asking this man: are you ready to take on the responsibility that wholeness brings? Are you ready? I want you to think about your situation, whatever it might be. Some of you, like this man, may have been dealing with this struggle for 38 years, give or take a few. You may have tried to turn over that new leaf. You may have tried to jump into some magical pool. You may have tried this harebrained scheme and that harebrained scheme, and you just completely settled into despair. But I want you to think about the possibility of being whole and the responsibility that it brings with you or with it. Ask yourself, do I want this? Do I want to be well? Because until you want it, it's never going to happen. Until we want to give, just like we heard here, until 10 years she's been in church, all these things, until holiness really grabbed hold. And until you want that with all of your being, it's not going to happen. Stop looking at failures and disappointments and start to think about the possibility that God's power can bring into your life this morning. The next thing Jesus spoke to this man, and technically this man did not answer his question. Not at all. He still just gave excuses. But Jesus had mercy on him. Point two. It says, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. John said in verse 9, immediately, not in 5 minutes, immediately, the man became well. And he picked up his pallet and he started to walk. And I want you to realize that part A of this verse would have remained true even if part two didn't. Jesus would have healed this man no matter what, even if he didn't pick up his mat and walk. But he had a choice. This man had a choice, just like we all do, to act upon the healing that he's received. He could have stayed in bed. He could have continued to beg. He could have continued to live the life avoiding all responsibilities. But he didn't. He got up and started doing what Jesus asked him to do. He could have also just simply objected to Jesus' command, but he didn't because it was the Sabbath. If you look at the scriptures, it says that this took place on the Sabbath. And the man could have said, Jesus, I can't get up today. I can't pick up my mat and walk today because that would be work. Let me just wait till tomorrow. Let me just wait till tomorrow. And then the Pharisees and everybody would say, they'd have no problem whatsoever. No one will be offended at my healing. He could have said that, but he didn't. He just simply got up and walked. And I believe that there are sick people to whom Jesus says, get up and walk, and he will heal your body, and you can get up and walk. But it just isn't about physical healing. It's about healing the entire body, inside and out. So how do we deal with that? How do we deal with what we've been struggling with? What we've hidden from our wife, what we've hidden from our husband, what we've hidden from the pastor. How do we deal with that? How do we say, how do we deal with the forgiveness that Jesus wants to give us? He simply says, get up and walk and move forward. And as Christians, there has to be that forward motion. We can't plateau. We got to be going forward or we're going backwards. Some here maybe have been mourning a lost relationship for months or years or even decades. And every day you think, I'm so lonely. I'm so miserable. I'm so empty. And Jesus says, I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never means never when Jesus says that. So get up and walk. Move forward in your Christian walk with him. Move forward in that walk. When Jesus spoke to this man, he healed his body. Scripture is very clear on that. But he didn't solve all of his problems. He gave the man the ability to walk. He didn't give the man a house. He didn't give the man a job. He didn't give the man a wife and family. He didn't do any of that. He healed him and allowed him the physical ability to get up and walk. And this man, from that point on, had a lot of forward motion to be going through. I want you to think for a moment. What is your step? What is your personal step towards total wholeness? Think about it. What is it? What would it be? What's the first step to a better life? What do we have to do? What do we have to do, and are you ready to take it? John tells us that when the man began walking around, sure enough, the Pharisees, ask him, what's going on? What did that man do? And what's this guy, the guy that just got healed, what did he do? He put the blame squarely upon Jesus. And he said, in verses 10 and 11, it says, it's the Sabbath, and it's not permissible for you to carry your pallet. But he answered them, he who made me well was the one who said to pick up your pallet and walk. He's just passing the blame right off there already. Well, it's not my fault. The man had been healed physically, but he's certainly not been made whole yet. And he was making excuses for his illness. Now he was making excuses for his illness and his sickness. Now he's placing the blame for his health. Again, it's not my fault. Boy, how easy is it for Christians today and people of the world today to post the blame out there for somebody else? You know, no matter what the situation is, it's real easy to say, boy, you know, if they just wouldn't have done this, Homer, it's your fault. You know, it's just the way it is. So, you know, it's just easy to point that finger and let someone else carry the blame. Here's the guy that just been healed, been 38 years laying there, carried in and out every day. We're assuming, we don't know that. And he starts pointing the finger. It's not my fault. Not my fault. Lots of lessons to be learned on wholeness and on responsibility. I want you to understand this completely. Listen, if nothing else, that being made whole is a process. As we continue to work through that. Now, can God come in and instantaneously heal it and make you whole? Absolutely. Can you come to that saving grace, that second Christ's experience of sanctification, and be bathed in holiness? Absolutely. But on the most part, we walk through a process as we try to become whole. And we try to understand more and more of what the Word tells us and how we're supposed to act as a Christian. But He's faithful to continue to answer our prayers. He will provide a miracle. And He will do great things in your life if you allow Him to do that. And sometimes we still don't respond the right way. Sometimes we have a tendency, again, like I've been saying, to place that blame, to avoid responsibility for our actions. Verse 14, it says, afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, point number three, red letter Bible, statement number three, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse may happen to you. Think about that. What's Jesus trying to say? Let that process just for a couple of seconds. Do not sin anymore. And I find that really interesting, Lynn. You know, here it is. He heals this man after 38 years. And as soon as he sees him in the temple or whatever it was, a short time afterwards, and he says, stop sinning. You know, here's this guy who's been laying by the pool. You know, what's the guy been doing? He's paralyzed. He can't get around. So, I'm going to use a poor illustration. You know, he couldn't be... Lynn's covering his eyes already. So, you know, he's paralyzed. So, he couldn't be dancing, you know. And, you know, evangelical church is still frowning on dancing. As long as you don't move your hips, you're all right. So, you can do all these things, you know. Just don't move the hips, you know. You know, so the guy couldn't have been dancing, and I don't think he was probably out drinking and carousing. I don't think that was probably the issue, but Jesus says, stop sinning. What was he doing? When you look at the story, and again, guys, as you're doing your devotional studies, I mean, dig into it. Read into it. Dig for what the message is there. But when you look at the story, the man's sins are glaringly obvious. We have the sin of doubt. We have the sin of not trying. The sin of self-pity. The sin of making excuses. The sin of placing blame. The sin of not taking responsibility. The sin of selfishness. You know, and Jesus said to him, in effect, stop it. Point blank and simple. Stop it. You are healed now, and you can have a new life. You don't have to live like you lived yesterday. And you can live a new way. The future is wide open for you. It's full of possibilities. If you'll just accept what I've done for you and move forward in your life. You know what? He's saying that exact same thing to every one of us. There are sins in your life and in my life that have kept us chained to the past. I don't know what they are. I don't know what they are in your life. But let's start with the big ones. The same ones that plagued this man who was paralyzed. The sin of doubt. The sin of unbelief. The sin of self-pity. The sin of making excuses. The sin of placing blame. The sin of not taking responsibility. You got to decide now to move them out of your life. And as you abandon each one of these sins, and as we continue our walk with Him and we get closer to Him, you know what? The Holy Spirit is faithful, and He's going to come and He's going to start showing you different areas in your life that need to be cleaned up even more. You know, you're going to see the sin of pride, possibly. The sin of anger. The sin of resentment. The sin of lust. The sin of deception. The sin of jealousy. The sin of greed. Whatever it is that you battle. As we move closer to Him, He's going to be faithful to show us what they are so that we can get them out of our lives and continue to clothe ourselves in the clothes of righteousness. If you want to experience wholeness, it's time to decide now that you must put as much distance between you and sin as possible. Nobody can do it for you. Jesus said to this man, stop sinning or something worse is going to happen to you. Or may happen to you. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. What is something worse? What could it be? Was Jesus saying that he was going to get sick again? I don't believe that. Something worse would be if this man was healed only in the body, but not in the spirit. Something worse would be that if he was able to walk, but his life remained empty and meaningless. Something worse would be, as we put it into our own language today, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but not moving forward after that. Just saying, I'm happy where I'm at. I've got my fire insurance in place, and life's going to be good. Come judgment day, guys, I think you're going to be in for a rude awakening. Because when I read the Word, that's not the way it works. We have to have that continual personal relationship with Him, growing, continue to move forward, and then, more importantly, it's our job to share it to all those around us. It's not just to come to church. This isn't the climax of the week. Well, I come to church and I got my fill for the week. No, coming to church is to be a worship time, and it's not just worshiping. It's with God. We're worshiping with God. We're not worshiping to God. It's just a climax of the week. As a born-again Christian, we are called to be active. We are called to go and to share the great news of Jesus Christ. Something worse would be if the body were made well, but never overcame his tendency to place blame, to make excuses and to avoid responsibility for his life. Because these habits, whatever our habits is that we have, they lead to unbearable misery, whether your body is whole or not. Unbearable misery. And we're able to fool everyone in our lives except other than Jesus and ourselves. Because Jesus knows it all and we know ourselves. So if you're struggling with a difficult situation, one that has tormented you for years and years, and you want to be made whole today, you can do it. It can happen. God will make you whole. But he's not interested in merely changing your situation. He wants to change you as an individual. Becoming whole isn't just about getting the money that you need to solve a financial problem or the healing you need or a relationship you need. It's about becoming the person that you need to be. It's about letting go of the pain of the past and abandoning the sin of the past so that God can fill your future with opportunity. Let me close with this thought. You know, I really don't understand, as you read this story and you really look at it, why the man did what he did. The Bible says that after Jesus spoke to him in the temple, that he went back to the Pharisees and told them that it was Jesus who healed him. I alluded to that earlier. And this set in motion the chain of events that led to Jesus' death on the cross. You get the feeling that Jesus would have been better off if he had never healed this man. But he did heal him because he loved him. And he will heal you because he loves you. This is the last we heard of this man. We don't know what happened to him next or how his life worked out. But we do know this. We do know this. Your past may in some way be similar to this man's past, but your future is your own. Maybe you've struggled with sin and failure and pain and affliction and sorrow and hopelessness and decades upon decades. And you've been hiding it all deep down within yourself. Today, Jesus is saying to you, do you want to get well? Do you want to be made whole? No excuses. Are you ready to accept the responsibility? Then take up your mat. In whatever area of your life, you can pick things up and start moving forward. Do it. Do it. Decide now that you want to have nothing to do with the sins that have kept you in chains until this morning. The sins of making excuses and placing blame and avoiding responsibility. Decide now that you will accept the opportunity for wholeness that Jesus has extended to you. Personalize your relationship. The opportunity for wholeness that Jesus has extended to you. Put your name right there in the front of that. He's not just offering to change your situation. He wants to change you. He wants to make you whole. He wants to make you well. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Musicians, if you'll come, please. As they're coming, I just want all of us to be thinking about where we at, and do you want to be made whole? Is that your heart's desire? Because we can play the game. I mean, before I went into the ministry, I attended this church for a lot of years, but I played the game for a lot of years. I know how the game's played. Oh, I'm a good guy. I put my tithe in. I do this, I do that. But I really didn't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ that's required if we want to spend eternity in heaven. It's that simple. There's requirements on our part if we want to do that. So this morning, as whatever song they're going to sing, I'm going to have a word of prayer before we go there. But this morning, before as we're singing this song, I'm going to ask you to take a great step and to step out and come into an altar, which I know this Lynn is a great altar man and this church is a great altar church. But I'm just going to change it a little bit. If you want to come to this side over here, my right-hand side, your left, if you just want to pray about something that you just want to pray about by yourself, you just come to this side. But if you want someone to pray with you, I'm going to ask you to come over here to my left, your right, to where we'll get some people up here to help pray with you. But the question is, do you want to be well? Let's pray. Father, again, as your word of truth has gone out, the bread of life has been broken, Father, I ask that you would just now just finish the work that you have started. And so, Father, anything that you want to see happen today, Father, may the courage be given to each one who might be struggling with something and just having that fear of stepping out. Father, we ask that you would just release that fear. Father, we ask that you would bind Satan here right now, Lord, that you would just continue doing the work that you want to see done. Father, that your name can be praised, your name can be glorified, and Father, that we as your people would be the people that you want us to be your servants, that we could bring glory to your name. Father, it's not about adding, doing things and counting numbers, but it's all about putting names in the Lamb's Book of Life. So, Father, have your way. Speak to these people, Lord. And, Father, may you just bless them mightily. And we ask this all in the most precious and the most holy names of all, the name of Jesus. Amen.